Well, it was 8 years ago that I started my launch into full-time ministry here at Living Stones, and I remember vividly there was a portion of service, and I don't remember how soon into ministry I was. It could have been my very first Sunday. It could have been a couple Sundays into my launch in here to Living Stones, but there was a portion of service that was dedicated to praying over me as I was new into ministry, and there was a pastor that used to attend our congregation. His name was Pastor McClendon. Some of you probably remember him, but there was a prayer that he prayed over me, and it was a long prayer. It was thoughtful, and it was repetitive. The part that was repetitive and one that I remember so vividly was two words. Remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. That part resounds in my heart the most and is something I've remembered for a long time, and it's something I'm going to continue to carry with me in my days ahead. But it was those two words, remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. So I'm just going to cut to the chase here, if that's okay with you. What would be different about your life if you just simply remembered Jesus? What would be different about your life if you actually remembered Jesus? First glance, you may be thinking, I'm good there. I remember Jesus. I don't understand what the problem is. I go to church pretty often. We have a problem, though, and the problem is this, and the problem is that we're forgetful. How do I know this? Because I know this about myself. It's not uncommon for me to leave my apartment, to walk downstairs, get into my truck, only to find out that I left my keys and my wallet inside. So what do? I walk back upstairs, I gather my wallet and my keys, and I do it all over again. I leave my parking lot this time, all to find out that I had left my phone inside. So I make the frustrating loop back into my parking spot, and I walk upstairs, I look for my phone this time, and then this time I can't find my phone. In frustration, I go back down to my truck only to realize I was holding it in my hand the entire time. I wish I wasn't making this up, but this happens more than I care to admit. I'm very, very forgetful. This happens pretty often. If you're anything like me, we can draw the conclusion that we are a forgetful people. So I do cherish the memory of being prayed over here at Living Stones with the two words echoing in my mind and in my heart. Remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. I attended a funeral of my great-grandpa on Monday, and it was a great celebration of life. It was one of those funeral services that you wanted to attend. It was evident that he loved the Lord. There was much consistent talk about how he loved his wife when she was living, he loved his family, and he loved his Jesus. There was a number of people, and I'm serious, every person that got up to talk talked about how much my great-grandpa Charlie read his Bible. And there was even a picture, and there was even someone mentioned how tattered and worn and how many times this Bible had actually been opened by him. And he was 96 years old, and even at the age of 96, he was in the hospital a few days before he passed away, and he made sure that someone would bring him his Bible. And it wasn't a designated coaster for his coffee mug. It was because he wanted to read it. At 96 years old, and I don't know, but I would venture to say that he read through the Bible a number of times. It wouldn't be a stretch to say that he more often than not read his Bible every single day. Logically speaking, you know, he read his Bible every day. He's worn it out, so why does he still read it? Why did he read it up until the day he died? Why does he read it so much? I'm sure he read it all the way through time and time again, so why keep reading it? And I think it's because my great-grandpa Charlie knew this about himself, that he's forgetful. And we need to remember Jesus. I think we all need to understand that we are a forgetful people, and we need to be reminded There's some very pivotal, crucial things in our walk with Jesus. So what would be different about your life if you actually remembered Jesus? We're going to take a look at a story that's always struck me when it comes to this idea of remembering Jesus. So we're going to be in Luke's gospel in chapter 24. And at this point in Luke's gospel account, everything is leading up to this one moment, the moment of the resurrection of Jesus. This is a pivotal piece in Scripture because if Jesus doesn't rise from the dead, his virgin birth is meaningless. His perfectly obedient life to the Father is meaningless. The miracles and the teachings lose the weight they would hold because everything rises and falls on this one moment of Jesus' resurrection. And so if you've spent time in Scripture for any given period of time, you may recognize the name of Theophilus. Theophilus, which is who Luke is writing to, and Luke is writing to Theophilus so that Theophilus would be certain that he would know certain truths towards the faith. So we're going to pick up in verse 1. We're just going to read through the chapter. We're going to stop at random points and check in and see how everyone's doing. So Luke chapter 24, verse 1, it says this. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in, but did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men stood by them in dazzling clothes. So the women were terrified and bowed down to the ground. "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" asked the men. Verse 6, "He is not here, but he has risen." Remember, check that word out. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, "It is necessary that the Son of Man be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and rise on the third day." Verse 8, and they remembered his words. See, what's happening here is not what the women were expecting. They were not expecting things to happen like this. Why not? Because they had forgotten. They didn't remember Jesus' teachings on what was to come. Jesus had told them many times throughout his life and through his ministry that he must suffer and die and rise again 3 days later. If they had remembered, they should have been waiting with like a level of excitement and anticipation, expectation, but they had forgotten his teachings. They forgot the gospel and their forgetting took them to the tomb. It's actually when the women remembered his words, like we just read in verse 8, they remembered his teachings, is when their lives started to change. I wonder how much of that is the same for us. It's when we remember the teachings of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the gospel, the good news that Jesus offers to us is really when our life starts to change for the better. It's when we remember Jesus. Verse 9, picking up where we left off, returning from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11, the disciples, and to all the rest. Verse 10, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them were telling the apostles these things. But these words seemed like nonsense to them, and they did not believe the women. So at this point, the apostles and disciples acted like male chauvinists towards these women. Verse 11 says that these words seem like nonsense to them. This is just the testimony of history happening. In this day, a woman's word would not be acceptable in court. But the reality is they were the ones who remembered the teachings and what was to come. See, unfortunately, if a woman was the first witness of an instance that were to be in court, that witness account would not have been credible. So you would have had to have a male make up a witness account to have a leg to stand on in court. Even today, there's real prejudice and chauvinism against women in the church. Even though the church would have closed its doors in Jerusalem if it were up to the men to go to the tomb early that morning to prepare the body. We have a long way to go when it comes to honoring women as full image bearers of God and servants of Jesus. This ought not be. But verse 12, picking up, Peter, however, in normal Peter fashion, Peter got up and ran to the tomb. And when he stooped to look in, he saw only the linen clothes. So he went away amazed at what had happened. I love the urgency of Peter here. He got up and ran, and I'd like to think that he didn't even wait for the sentence to end. He just heard and he bolted to see, because I think he's so desperate for just another memory beside the one that he left with the rooster crowing. And Peter was amazed at what happened because he saw the linen clothes. And whenever those linen clothes would be laying there, they were probably folded in a way that was unique to Jesus. So if they saw the linen clothes, it wasn't likely that his body had been taken, because the clothes would have been either with Jesus or they would have been thrown to the ground. But these linen clothes were probably folded in a way that was unique to Jesus. And Peter saw that and he walked away amazed at what had happened. Verse 13, the Emmaus disciples, it says this, "Now that same day, two of them were on their way to a village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Together they were discussing everything that had taken place. And while they were discussing and arguing, Jesus himself came near and began to walk along with them." Verse 16, I love this. "But they were prevented from recognizing him. Then he asked them, 'What is this dispute that you're having with each other as you're walking?' And they stopped walking and looked discouraged. The one named Cleopas answered him, 'Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things happening in these days?'" I mean, think of the irony that's actually happening here. Cleopas is essentially saying, "Bro, do you not even remember what's taking place? Have you lived under a rock and this is your first day out of hiding?" Like, in reality, he's asking the only person who truly does know. It's just fascinating what's happening here. Verse 19, Jesus plays along with this. What things? He asked them. So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, powerful in action and speech before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him." Verse 21, "But we were hoping that he was the one who was about to redeem Israel. Besides all this, it's the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women from our group astounded us. They arrived early at the tomb, and when they didn't find his body, they came and reported that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they didn't see him." One commentary I read put it this way: "These men knew the facts of the gospel, but they didn't yet recognize the face of the gospel." See, their problem wasn't an intellectual one. It was actually a spiritual one. They didn't yet believe the resurrection, which we pointed out early makes everything else meaningless. I mean, consider the countenance of the men here. They experienced Jesus in their very midst. They lived life with Jesus for a number of years. They saw his teachings. They saw him perform miracles. I mean, in this whole idea of remembering Jesus, like, how could the disciples forget? I mean, anytime they would walk by the Sea of Galilee, they would think of Jesus. Anytime they saw a leper, they would think of Jesus. Anytime they would see a fisherman, they had to have thought of Jesus. I mean, just think of all these instances that they would just think about a time they were with Jesus. I mean, they were with him in the very day-in, day-outness of ministry. And because the resurrection hasn't taken place, they were downcast. Even seeing the miracles he performed, it was meaningless because the death-to-life miracle hadn't taken place in their eyes yet. Verse 25, Jesus says this to them, "How foolish are you, and how slow to believe all that the prophets had spoken? Wasn't it necessary for the Messiah to suffer these things and enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted for them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. They came near the village where they were going, and he gave the impression that he was going farther." Verse 29, "But they urged him, 'Stay with us, because it's almost evening, and now the day's almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. It was as he reclined at the table with them that he took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them." And get this, verse 31, "Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he disappeared from their sight." They said to each other, "Weren't our hearts burning within us while he was talking with us on the road and explaining the scriptures to us?" I mean, can you just imagine like the excitement on their face of just like the minute their eyes were opened and they saw Jesus for the first time since the resurrection? Like, man, it just made everything about Jesus' life up to this point like credible. Verse 33, "That very hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those with them gathered together, who said, 'The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon.' Then they began to describe what had happened on the road and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread." Verse 36, "As they were saying these things, he himself stood in their midst and he said to them, 'Peace to you.' But they were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost." Verse 38, "Why are you troubled?" he asked them. "Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you can see I have." Having said this, he showed them his hands and feet. But while they still were amazed and in disbelief because of their joy, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" So they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. He told them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Jesus is letting it be known that everything in Scripture is pointing to me. Everything that the prophets had written, everything in all of Scripture is pointing to me. Verse 45, "Then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures." First, he opened the tomb. Then he opened their eyes, and now Jesus is opening their minds to understand the scriptures. He also said to them, "This is what is written: the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and repentance for forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem." "You are witnesses of these things. And look, I'm sending you what my Father promised. As for you, stay in the city until you are empowered from on high." Verse 50, "Then he led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was carried up to heaven. After worshiping him, they returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple praising God." What is so beautiful about this is that we know the disciples were faithful to the Great Commission because the church exists today. We are a product of the faithfulness carried out by the disciples through the power of the Holy Spirit. They remembered Jesus. They remembered his life, his death, and his resurrection. They remembered. So that's my challenge to you, Living Stones. The same prayer that was prayed over me is what I'm praying over you, is to remember Jesus. Remember the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. Remember the sacrifice that was with you in mind. Remember Jesus. Remembering is not something we can force our minds and hearts to do. We can work and put in the effort to memorizing scripture and reciting truth, but remembering is something that we need supernatural help in. The reality is that we all have what I'll call, actually my professor called it this, he called it spiritual Alzheimer's. For those of you that have been a follower of Jesus for any time, you can resonate with this more than you care to admit. We know the gospel message. We know what Jesus did for us. We know that God's word is powerful. We know that we have access to the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. We know that we don't have to live bound to sin because Jesus' death on the cross released the power of sin over us. We know all of this and more, but do we actually remember? The beautiful picture that comes to mind was one that my college professor painted for me in one of his books, and it's this picture. Sometimes it feels like we suffer from spiritual Alzheimer's disease. We forget who we are, we forget whose we are. But the Lord, like a faithful husband, shows up and feeds his bride every day. At times there are recognition in our eyes. We are the church. Every single one of us, we are his holy bride, all dressed in the purity of his righteousness. We are lovely in his eyes. He adores us. He gave us his body for us, all of us. He feeds us. He shed his blood for us, all of us sinners. He died for us. And even though we may not realize it, he is here taking care of us, loving us, and holding us faithfully, because we are his. And my professor goes on to say, like a woman in a nursing home wearing a vacant stare, I open my mouth and receive what he gives me. And he, with a smile on his face, catches a faint glimmer of recognition in my eyes. Living Stones, I love you. You've been a vehicle of God's grace to me for a number of years, and I will never forget you. I will remember God's faithfulness to us in our time together, and it's been an absolute honor and great privilege to be one of your pastors. Thank you for loving me so well. And you know, this time is bittersweet. Is the only really word I can really capture with this. It's bittersweet. And, you know, it's bittersweet because I'd do it all again. I'd do it all again. And the church has been you guys have been so gracious to me to allow me to grow to where the only thing I can really just describe it as is that you've helped me remember Jesus. Is that I've been able to experience the grace that God has for me through you all. That in my growing and in my learning, you have been a wonderful example of God's grace to me, and it helps me know and remember Jesus. So thank you, church, and I love you. So let me pray for us, and we will dismiss. God, thank you for your faithfulness. God, thank you for all that Jesus has done for us. God, may we remember all that Jesus is, all that he's done, and what he's doing. God, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, may you help us remember. Help us to walk, God, in a way that keeps the gospel in our minds and in our hearts. God, and for those moments where we do walk in forgetfulness, and those moments where we do choose left instead of right, God, thank you for the grace that you've given us for the journey. God, you have been so incredibly good to me. You've been so good no matter the circumstances, no matter the things that happen. God, you are so, so good. Help us to walk in light of that and remember your goodness, your faithfulness, and the life that your son lived on our behalf. God, we love you and we thank you and praise you. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen.